Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast.
Here we talk about all things step-parenting, blended family, divorce, remarriage, and being a fucking badass. Listen and subscribe to the Trade Up Stepmom podcast. If you have a question you'd like to ask or a topic you'd like to hear about, please email me at thetradeupstepmom@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram as thetradeup_stepmompodcast or on Facebook as The Trade Up Stepmom. Hey there. So I'm just doing a quick throwback to one of my most listened to episodes. This episode, we got probably about 10 times more listeners on this episode. So I wanted to just bring it back around in rotation for all of you and just hope that you take a listen and hope that it helps someone out there. Hope you enjoy.
We got an email.
Someone's excited. So I got an email from a fan saying that she found our podcast and loves it, can't stop listening. So I want to first say thank you. And I did respond back thanking her, and then I asked if there are any topics she'd like me to cover in the future. Her response was, I'd really like to know how you deal with the bio parents when they don't like you. Their mom hates me and is trying to ruin our lives. So,
first, I'm going to interject on this one real quick. This is almost a duh in the step-parent community. It's almost as ordinary as going to the store. Mm-hmm. So, wherever you are, just know that you're definitely not alone or in a unique situation.
We all get it.
This is our weekly piece of the pie. But you go ahead.
So when it comes to them not liking you, or I'll just speak for myself, the ex not liking me, I have prided myself in carrying myself gracefully through even the toughest,
situations.
And, I feel like at least already with one of them, it has proven to be the right thing.
Oh, it paid off. It paid off in spades.
Jaden doesn't count. Girl. We say that all the time, but,
the oldest girl though, she's, doing great.
Yeah. She's seen the light. She's opened the lines of communication with me, and
she's much more comfortable now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in with herself, not necessarily with us or with the dynamic. She just seems more comfortable in general.
Yeah.
And that allows us to be much more like approachable, I think, to her. She can come to us for stuff a lot more than she ever used to, and it's still not much because she's also a teenage girl, so it's kind of double hard.
Yeah.
Teenagers are tough. But I think that's because of the groundwork that you have laid. Like, you've done just a lot of work to kind of pave the road for that kind of stuff. I don't mean to use a lot of metaphors, but what I mean.
It's really hard to not shit talk when you really dislike the other parent. Or disagree.
For good logical reasons, mind you, not because their face looks funny.
Right, yeah. But things like dental hygiene and personal hygiene, not feeding them chips and bean dip from a can for dinner. Those are my things.
Or making
things.
An 8-year-old make their own dinner.
Right. Or being just a terrible person overall.
In general.
Yeah.
Do you remember, this was a long time ago. It was when we were in the first house we were in. And my ex's sister was in a conversation with my ex. And she said, you know, his new, back then it was girlfriend, it wasn't wife,
mm-hmm.
Looks like my replacement is nothing like me. And my ex's own sister said, yeah, I think that's kind of the point. I mean, like, it looks, size, height,
personality,
demeanor, everything. It was not the same. She's like, oh, looks like that one's nothing like me. I'm like, yep.
But that's exactly right. Yeah.
I figured out all the things I don't want in a woman and then found me one who fit that.
Yeah.
And it took us 2 weeks, you and me, to kind of nailed that down once we had our parameters set. We found each other within a couple weeks. No joke. Because we had super specific parameters, and it worked out pretty well. Like, I had to have a job, and
at least 6 feet tall.
Not be Tom Cruise tiny.
Yeah.
I think that was about it. Like, you weren't.
Oh no, there was way more than
you
that.
You weren't extremely demanding though. Like, you wanted a
I just wanted someone with a fucking job.
And every man who had a job and was not a complete Deutsch bag.
Yeah. Good conversation. Okay, anyways, we're off topic. a couple of situations that we've been in, or I'll just speak for myself, that I've been in with her not liking me. One of those would be, like, the kids saying, well, my mom said.
Or my mom...
Thinks this or feels this.
Or does not agree with whatever.
Right. And so anytime they say those things, I say, well, what do you think?
Or, this isn't your mom's house. When it comes to rules, not personality.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my mom lets me. Well, cool. Your mom doesn't fucking live here.
Well, if your mom lived here, we wouldn't be here, would we?
But in those circumstances, like, one of them was, Izzy said that, her mom said that we don't pay for half of sports, and so she only has enough money for food for the next 2 weeks. Something along those lines.
Which, if we wanted to break that down, we could spend an hour doing that, but the reason we don't pay for half of sports is because we don't want them to fucking do them, because it's not... on our schedule, it wasn't of our choosing, and we don't get to decide any part of it other than, oh, here, these three have practices 9 days a week. No, we're not going to do that. We wouldn't have planned these sports because we have other shit to do and other kids.
Right.
So that's why we don't do these things.
Well, and another is that all we ask her for is a receipt, and then we will pay half.
If you want half the money,
right.
Show me a receipt. And she hasn't done that in...
I think she's done it once.
It was for school supplies 5 years ago.
Yeah. But anyways, so in that moment, I just told Izzy, like, well, you know, Dad and I like you to be home, and we like you to have dinner with us. And
we were never asked.
Yeah. And,
basically.
Yeah, and we weren't asked in advance. You know, we have other kids and other schedules, and... it just takes a lot more work. And then she kind of understands that. But I'm not saying, like, well, your mom's dumb and doesn't give us a receipt, so it's her problem. Like,
well, we
just
did tell
gracefully.
Her, it was just that, though. Like, mom never consulted us about it. Why would we pay for it?
Yeah.
It's like me buying a car and then expecting your mom to pay half.
Right. Yeah, I agree completely. And then other situations that I've come across is, like, recently she picked up Gabe for a doctor's appointment, just a standard appointment, to get immunizations. And, I said something along the lines of, I'll make sure to have lunch ready for him when you get back. And she didn't look at me. She didn't make eye contact.
Nothing.
She didn't say thank you. She didn't say okay. Like, just completely ignored. And in that situation, again, I just smile, you know, see you later. Yeah, close the door, whatever. Had lunch ready for Gabe when he got home, just like I promised, because she might have not given a shit, but Gabe sure did. And then later he asked me about it, or we talked about it. I forget how we got on subject of it, but I basically just, like, laid out the situation, like, what did your mom say when I told her I'd have lunch ready for you? And he looked at me, like, confused.
He was confused because she said nothing.
Right. And he said that he didn't remember her saying anything. And I said, you're right. She didn't say anything. What do you think of that?
No.
And he told me that he thought that it was disrespectful and it would have been polite.
I'm listening.
And
you're not talking to me.
And it would have been polite if she had responded.
Well, and this is a problem we have with Gabe, because sometimes somebody will say something to him or ask him something or tell him something, and he will say nothing.
Yeah.
He will not respond whatsoever. So obviously it's a learned behavior.
Yeah.
And not enforced, but he did notice it.
Mm-hmm.
Normally he'd just look at you confused and like, I don't know what you're talking about because I wasn't paying attention. In this case, he's like, I don't think she said anything. I'm like, yeah, duh. Get it?
Yeah.
We're working with this kid to this day about somebody says something to you.
Acknowledge them.
Acknowledge that they said something like, hey, Gabe, have a nice day. And then he just turns around and walks away. Like,
yeah.
That's his version of thank you or you too.
Yeah. Another thing that I came across was, and this is, you know, because Izzy has opened the lines of communication, but she said that her mom doesn't like me because I'm so much like you. And so I just said, well, I said, I don't see anything
ding,
wrong
ding,
with
ding.
That.
Winner, winner, winner.
Yeah, I said, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think Dad's awesome. And just kind of left it at that instead of saying, like, you know, she shouldn't say that or that's mean or, you know.
What a bitch.
Yeah. So I think it's all in how you handle the situation and how you carry yourself gracefully and don't let it get to you.
Kids will tell the truth.
Yeah.
All you have to do is remind them. It's okay what other people say. You don't have to agree with it. And I feel like maybe that's not true, but that's just me. And
yeah.
You leave it in their hands. Don't tell them, like, obviously that's not true or obviously that is true.
Right.
There are people. They're growing into people.
But also, like, she does not know me at all.
Nope, zero.
Does not know me. So.
She knows you like me.
Well, you know.
That was not on purpose, by the way.
Guilty. But My point in saying that is that she doesn't know me, so what do I care what she thinks of me?
Exactly.
If it was Summer, who knows me really well, who is a lot like me, if she didn't like me, I'd be like, oh, like, what'd I do? I'd actually care, maybe. And I just don't care. If you don't know me, you have no reason to judge me or say anything about me.
She knows me well enough that if you're like me, she knows she probably doesn't want to marry you again.
Well, that's good. I don't want to
marry
her.
But we get along, and we get along because we know each other. Like we've gotten to know each other very much better in the past 20 years, obviously. But she got to know you way more in depth than she ever got to know.
You're talking about Summer.
Yeah.
You want to make that clear. Yeah.
Summer trusts you, and she always trusts you with, you know, Jaden. Jaden loved you. Like that part, I feel like, was easy because the kids sealed the deal. Because kids always tell the truth. And we ran into zero hassle with Summer, I think, ever. I think one time we might have when we didn't want to pay for a plane ticket for him to go to some fucking music festival once. Because we weren't okay with him going at such a young age.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's nothing. Like, you guys text each other to this day.
Yeah.
About stuff that has nothing to do with the kid now.
Right.
And most of it has to do with the kid, let's be honest. But some stuff like, hey, how you doing? Check out this thing I found.
Yeah.
Isn't this cool or whatever? Like you're talking.
Yeah. Or like when you were gone.
Oh my god.
Someone's at the door. Pause. Okay, we're back.
Sorry, the neighbors were bringing back a thing they borrowed.
I forget what I was saying.
Well, I did too.
Oh, it was Summer. I remember now. So one day while you were gone, we hadn't texted in like a week.
When I was gone this last time?
Yeah. And
if anybody's never heard this podcast before, I was in Afghanistan.
Yeah. So you were gone and I hadn't talked to her in a week or so. And for whatever reason, it had felt like a long time. Maybe it was a couple of weeks. But I had a question for her, or she had a question for me, something like that. And I just said, I'll call you after work. Well, I talked to her.
They had a pretty busy summer, so I get it.
Yeah, I talked to her my entire way home, which is like 30 minutes on the phone. But when I was on the phone with her, she's like, I miss you. I'm like, I miss you too.
Well, I mean,
that's how it should be.
You miss
be,
having
though.
Like a certain level of, it's not like you're best friends or like you grew up together. You know the exact same trivia stuff. There's a certain level of levity and sanity that comes with knowing somebody just the right way. And
yeah.
I feel like just the right way happened, sadly, when Jaden got hurt. Before that, everything was just fine and cool. But after Jaden got hurt and she had to stay here for a couple of weeks. And like you guys were going through some stuff together
yeah,
as
some
moms.
Mom stuff.
And I feel like that kind of you know, you bond. You yeah. bond over a child getting fucked up and kind of seal the deal. Yeah. Like, you don't even need me now unless you need me to make him, like, make him shower when he's half out of it. But
yeah.
Otherwise, he knows he's got both of y'all in his pocket. So good luck with that for the next 20 years.
I just love him.
He just sends me pictures of cool shit. And you guys, he's like, can I have a thing? But he'll text you both.
Oh, yeah, because one of us will
play mom together. Against mom type yeah. of shit. Instead of mommy, mommy, daddy, it's mommy, mommy, not
mommy,
daddy.
Stepmommy. So how do you deal with knowing that you're not liked?
Well, I accept it fully because the reasons that people may not like me normally I'm cool with because who cares? Like, I don't have a self-esteem issue. If your other ex, I don't know if he's listening.
Mm-mm.
Your ex significant other doesn't like me. That means less to me than whether or not I shit today. I understand the mentality because some people are like that, and to me it's a weak mentality, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's a weakness, it's a self-esteem issue, and it's a regret issue that has nothing to do with me and my household.
Right.
And my family.
Yeah.
And I deal with it by not giving a fuck.
How do you do it, like, when the boys say, like, my dad doesn't like you or my dad hates you?
Well, I don't think, honestly, I don't remember them ever saying their dad hates me, but I do remember being called a faggot once by the younger one.
Oh, yeah, when he was two. TJ is he was faggot. Three. He was two because we didn't live with you at the time.
Oh. I thought it was after I potty trained him.
No.
And cause he complained to his dad about me, how I potty trained him. Anyway, no. Doesn't matter. Well, so I would look at you and be like, what's it like to be with a faggot? I don't care.
No, but also, like, I knew where those words came from.
Oh, yeah,
from
you know where it originates from. But
yeah.
I'm not.
You spend enough time with someone, you know how they talk.
I don't. I've got way better shit to be mad about because I have an actual job and career. So.
But when it comes
to
the kids.
I don't focus anger and ugly on somebody that I don't know and I'll never bother getting to know.
Yeah.
I will never put that much effort, hate, and intention and just passion into disliking somebody. Like, I got better shit to do.
Yeah.
I put all my good passion into this household.
Yeah.
This family. You. I ain't got time for that shit. But knowing that actually gives me an upper hand. Now I don't have to try and, you know, extend the olive branch. I'm like, hey man, peace for banging your ex old lady like a decade later. Like, what the fuck do I care anyway? Like, it was so long ago, who the fuck cares? I don't know. It wasn't a decade ago, but you understand what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I don't owe you an explanation for how I'm living my life right now with somebody you let slip through your fingertips. Not my fucking problem, dude.
Yeah.
The kids are my problem, but he is not.
Right, he is not.
Through the transitive property, he is, but that's because the kids are love their dad.
Fucking loyalty.
Good for them. I mean, as far as I know, he's not a heroin dealer. So, could be worse.
So, do you...
To summarize, how I deal with it is not giving a fuck. I don't care what the...
I mean,
what that guy thinks of me.
No, I know. But when the kids say something, how do you deal with that? How do you think is best to handle those types of situations?
Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I'm not going to tell them they're wrong or their dad's wrong. It's not going to do anything except solidify somebody's position that I'm opposed to them.
Yeah. You know, another thing I was thinking of is when I asked, I think it was Izzy, when we were having one of our little chats, I asked her if she could recall a time where I had ever said anything bad about her mom or stepdad. Nope. She
couldn't.
Not
once. Not never.
And I said, well, exactly. Like, why would I say something hurtful about somebody that you love so much?
You love them? Why would I badmouth them to you?
Right.
It's like being on a baseball team and looking at another baseball player and saying, man, that coach is an asshole.
Yeah.
Though it may be true, maybe they don't agree with you.
Yeah.
You're still on the same team.
Yeah.
Or badmouthing other team members would probably be even worse.
Probably.
Not just the coach.
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? You guys are supposed to practice, play, and win together.
Yeah.
That's how a family's supposed to be.
One, again, like, carrying yourself gracefully. When Izzy asked me why you and Cammy broke up, like, I'm not telling, what was she, 11 at the time? I'm not telling an 11-year-old why.
Well, she was 8 when we met, right?
Yeah, but it was...
She was 11 when she asked.
Yeah, because...
And did you tell her to ask mom or ask me?
I said you would have to ask your parents that. I said, but...
She never has.
Yeah, but I said, I think that... I said, I don't think that dad would tell you until you're an adult, because it's not a kid conversation.
If she asked me straight up, I would tell her, I feel like we should save this conversation for when she's a little bit older. I get she doesn't understand it, because a lot of kids don't, never will. But when they get older, they're like, oh yeah, like a shitload of stuff is making sense now. Okay, cool, got it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it means them not holding on to anger for a decade, I'd be down with it, because I know her aunt wouldn't let her about it, and she's never asked her aunt about it, but she knows.
Yeah, she's only ever asked me, and I wonder why.
Fear. She's afraid to hurt somebody's feelings.
Oh, but it's not mine.
it's not that she's not afraid to hurt your feelings. It's that there's an amount of trust with you that overcomes the fear of your feelings being hurt because you weren't mom or dad when they broke up.
I guess that's true.
Technically, you're an objective party when it comes to the situation.
Yeah.
Anybody who is in the family that she already knew is probably not going to give her the answer she wants to hear either, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If she asked Katie, Katie will fucking tell her straight up. She won't lie about it, and she probably wouldn't even need to text me and be like, hey, I told your daughter what happened. Like, I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah.
Because Katie, she would do that. Her mom's never going to be honest with her. Her grandma's never going to be honest with her. Like,
I feel like anybody on that side of the family would sugarcoat it.
Katie would not, but Katie, I guarantee, has never been asked directly.
Yeah.
Because even if Dawn said, don't tell your niece what happened, Katie would be like, I'm not lying to her. Because she's done it her whole life. She didn't do it with her sons. Didn't do it with anybody. Her sons know why she has an ex-husband. Like, your dad was a douchebag. He was a piece of shit. So I got rid of him. She would not lie about it. Even if she was instructed to lie about it, she would not lie about it.
Well, that's good.
That's how I know she was never asked. But that, I think what we decided, or what we came up with, is anybody in that side of family, she wouldn't ask because she assumes they're not going to tell her the truth.
Right.
You absolutely would.
Yeah.
I absolutely will.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have the courage to ask me because maybe she thinks it's going to hurt my feelings, or what immediately affects me is immediately going to affect her mother. I'm not sad about it.
Right. I mean, like, at that time you were sad.
Well... Not when she was 11.
No, I mean at the time of the breakup. At the time of the discovery.
Oh, I don't think they understood that shit for a year or two.
No, probably not. But I'm saying maybe she thinks that it was really sad for you and she's trying to spare you reliving those feelings.
I think they had nothing else to go on and thought that was how things were supposed to be because they were babies. All of them. Everybody. They didn't know that that's how things weren't supposed to be. They just knew that one day, mom doesn't get to come into our house anymore. Oh, meet this guy. It's hard to explain that to a kid unless the mom already told them, we're going to go live somewhere else with somebody else now. And the kid's like, wait, what? This is our house. What's dad's here? Like, what are you doing?
I get that. Oh, to be a fly on the wall.
The confusion would have to have immediately set in because I didn't immediately bring somebody to my fucking household.
Right.
I waited until my divorce was finalized
yeah.
to go out to date.
Yeah.
Anyway, if she asked me today, I would tell her. I think I would tell her.
Would you tell her names?
I think she could probably figure that out because there's only been that one name. And I don't think she would really be super sad about it.
Because, probably not.
He's a good guy to them. I don't think they'd be super sad about it. They would be sad, like, oh, well, that sucks. Like, yeah, well, things work out how they work out. You know, it's not...
Everybody's
if one of us wasn't crying in the middle of the room, like, it'd probably be fine. They'd be like, oh, well, that's actually simpler, if you think about it. Like, mom liked Pete more than dad. Dad went and I met Jenna. Like, it's... things happen like that sometimes, and Now you guys just have two Christmases and two households instead of zero or an unhappy home.
Yeah.
24 hours a day. I'd rather you guys have two homes and two Halloweens than one home and nobody's happy because you're being ignored because
you're an asshole.
One of those parents is probably not going to be at home all the time, if you think about it.
Yes.
So, Izzy, I think Izzy already knows, but if she asks me to my face, I'll tell her straight up. I don't want to lie to her. She's old enough. And I think she already knows, personally. I really do.
Maybe.
You wouldn't tell her any different. You would just ask Dad.
If
she has the courage to ask me the question,
yeah,
I will answer the question. She has not had that courage.
Yeah, I would not ever say anything. I don't feel like it's my place. As much as I'd love to be there for her in that moment, it's not my place.
Nope.
I won't be the one to tell her.
I know that was a very long, drawn-out way of saying, you know, I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah.
I feel like we would have had to talk about that beforehand, and unless she pressed you with blackmail, you weren't going to say anything.
I feel like we're always on the same page, though. I don't think we have a lot of issues around that.
Before she left 2 days ago, if she had asked, I'd have told her.
Okay.
I don't think she would. I don't think it would break her heart or, like, ruin her day. I honestly think she's okay with it. It's just a check a box kind of a thing.
Right.
Not a, oh, another significant emotional event. I don't think she would do that.
I think she's stronger than that.
She'd be like, oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then just kind of roll right through it. She'd get it.
What else do you have about the exes not liking you? Can you think of any situations? I feel like I have more animosity with my relationship with Cammy than you and Bobby.
That's because no girls like each other. I wouldn't say there's not animosity between he and I. It's that whether I'm here or I'm there, I am not secondary in the situation, and I never will be. I feel like it's a known thing in any situation I'm in with that guy. You are not the alpha in my world, and you never will be.
Well, he was never the alpha in mine.
I feel like that's understood. I don't need to have animosity towards him. It's like drinking poison and expecting him to die. I think it was Einstein that said that, but I'm probably way off on that one. Don't quote me on that one. That's what hate is.
Yeah.
It's drinking poison and expecting the person you hate to die.
Yeah.
And I don't hate. I don't hate him at all. I have no reason to. I don't think about him ever during my waking day, so
yeah.
What do I care? And I walk into a room like I own the shit.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, and Cammy's not my most favorite person on the planet, but I would never do anything, like, intentionally
I'd never harm him.
Yeah.
I would never intentionally cause that person strife, pain, hardship.
Yeah, she's just not someone I would choose to spend time with.
I would have to care to do that, and I don't care enough about that person to do that in any sense, good or bad. It's like, if you do me wrong, I don't hate you. I never will. That hate is my burden to carry, not yours. Just know that we're good. We may never talk again. Just know that we're good.
Yeah. I can't really think of any times where you and Bobby have had conflict, because I feel like to our faces, he's cordial. It's just the shit talking behind the scenes.
No, he'll never bring conflict to my face.
Right.
I know that kind of a person.
Yeah.
If he was going to do it, he'd have done it within the past 5+ years.
Yeah. And last time he did it to me, I punched him.
He'll never do that in my house. Or anywhere near my house. He'll never do that while I'm at his house.
Yeah. But, and I don't think that Cammy would do that. At least not at our house.
The only
house.
Time she's ever here is for the kids, and she don't care about either of us when it comes to that.
Yeah. I think for her, it's more like being seen and being heard. Like,
it's more in the show.
Yeah,
part of the show.
At the games, you know, I cheer for Izzy, and then she cheers
louder.
Yeah.
Even though Zoe wants to come home and eat a regular dinner with Izzy and, like, do her nails.
Yeah.
And Izzy just wants to read a book or...
And then another thing is, like, when we sat down for that dinner before you guys deployed, She was wouldn't loud shut the fuck and, up.
Like it was. By the way, this was a dinner where Leonard and I needed to have. We needed to exchange two or three sentences, and we got there when we were comfortable with us exchanging these sentences. The whole time, otherwise, was Dawn and Cammy fucking chirping like seagulls. And everybody's just sitting there like, you know, waiting for you to shut the fuck up. And then at one point, he looks over at me. He's like, hey, so is this how we want to do things? Like, yeah, that sounds good. How about this one thing? He's like, yeah, yeah, let's do that. Done. Mm-hmm. Fucking done. It could have been a phone call, but we also like to like go to dinner with Leonard because, you know, he's awesome.
I like Leonard.
And fucking Dum Dum offered nothing.
Yeah.
That whole time.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, it's worth the interaction with like Leonard to sort that type of stuff out because they were very involved while I was gone. They had to be on their mom's side because there was nobody left. It was her and her husband were gone.
Most
so.
Certainly could have been here all the time. That just wasn't Cammy's preference.
But Leonard would have just like asked to take him out or whatever. He wouldn't have worried about that. But
I think when it comes to
Dawn had to have control of the situation because she knows her daughter's weaker than her and they're both just,
you know what,
weird.
That's another thing though to mention about like being disliked. So
it extends into the grandmother realm on that side of the family.
Right. And so
well, and on that side of the family.
Yeah. So like
grandmothers are even angry about this shit.
Yeah, my ex's family doesn't speak to me. I speak with my ex mother-in-law very rarely.
Mm. Albeit very cordially.
Very cordially, yes, but very rarely, and it's only to coordinate, you know, a pickup or a drop off if she's in town.
Because sometimes the boys go visit her and she lives many hours away, so right. It takes a lot of coordination.
Yeah. But then like with Dawn, over your deployment, she told Gabe that she thought I was stupid. And because I got rid of Henry,
yeah,
the dog.
She would have kept him and let him roam the grounds and then shoot up her house and get smoked by a car when he ran away.
But anyways, so that's just another situation where you have to carry yourself gracefully through that conversation. And
well, Grandma Dunn doesn't have to take care of this dog, so yeah. It doesn't really matter what her opinion is.
Yeah, the dog didn't chew on Grandma's couch now, did it? But also in that moment, I brought to Gabe's attention that he only told her that I got rid of him. He didn't tell her
why. What the circumstances are.
Exactly. And so we started talking about half-truths and
omission of information.
On, yeah, and focusing
lying by omission is lying.
On the negative instead of the positive. But, you know, like the hatred on that side goes deep.
Toss gasoline on it, man. It is. If we were to continue to build a larger family empire, it would be generational, like Hatfields and McCoys with these people. Not Leonard. Leonard's awesome. Katie's awesome, too. Mm-hmm. It's really just the grandma and mom, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's very
for
true.
For some reason, they
the rest of them just don't know me well enough.
And the ones that do, love you.
Yeah, that's true.
We have one of the cars that we have, Leonard, my ex-father-in-law, on my last deployment 4 years ago, I called him up and said, hey, I want to buy this car. I want Jenny to go get it, but will you go look at this car for me and make sure it's okay? And like, you guys FaceTime me like while you're looking at the car. Like, Leonard's, like, he's talking in the phone, not knowing that he's
like
on camera.
Shot?
So I saw like the top of his nose and his forehead, and I'm talking to him. He's like, hey, it looks pretty good. He's talking to me the whole time, and all I see is, like, forehead and sunshine. And I'm like, well, I appreciate you going out there, Pop. And he's like, yeah, no worries. Because he loves looking at old cars, too.
Yeah.
And he knows, he's known me for 15 years now. He knows I've been looking for a Cougar forever. And he's like, this one looks like the solid one, dude. Like, let's go ahead and do this. I'm like, cool. You know, thank you for doing this. And he loves hanging out with you, too. Because he's a very sweet man. And he'll be that way until he dies. To me, anyway, he's been good to our family, like our family now.
Yeah.
He's good to us, and like he doesn't mind the bullshit that Cammy and Dawn kind of.
I feel like he almost like ignores it or
just completely ignores
it.
Like if I come by the house, I'm like, hey, what's up? Like he wouldn't worry about anything else.
Every time I see him,
just one of the most amazing men I've ever met, and that's why I was like, you know what? If you're going to go look this car, you got to take Leonard because he knows what to look for specifically.
Yeah. When you trust his assessment. Oh,
if he said this thing's kind of a junker, he'd be like, nah, don't do it. And I'm like, cool. Bounce out. Go have lunch. Like, don't even bother.
Yeah. Okay. You got off subject because you were talking about cars.
And Leonard. Leonard's my hero. He's a good man.
Can you think of any instances where you thought that I've handled the conflict gracefully?
No, not once. Actually, you're probably the poorest example of how to handle conflict with the bio parents gracefully. Most of the time, I have to escort you away from the room because of your temper and your, frankly, sailor mouth.
Well, I do have a sailor mouth.
Most of the time, I have to, like, just smooth things over with everybody who comes in. No.
Just because I feel like I've had more conflict.
I feel like, well, yeah. You're also a female dealing with a female. You're going to have more conflict and vocal, verbal, obvious conflict. Pussy men are always going to be pussy men. There's no such thing as a pussy woman when it comes to caring about a kid or an ex. Or there's always, like, a spark there.
Mm-hmm.
She was never, like, disliking of you. It's that somebody better replaced her and is a better, in my book, fit for the children. So that person's always going to feel less than, which means they have to overcompensate positively and negatively. Despite that, for a long time, you would just engage with her and she would engage you, and I'm like, just tell her okay and fucking leave it at that. The only winning move is not to play.
Yeah.
When somebody wants to verbally spar, just fucking cut it off and say, okay.
Yeah. And they see the episode labeled,
and they will quit,
okay.
They will quit talking. I swear to you, they will quit talking because there's nothing left. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I want to do this thing. Okay. That's it.
There have been times where I said okay and she kept going and I just kept responding
just saying,
with okay.
Keep saying okay.
Yeah.
It snuffs the fire out.
Yeah.
Sometimes people need to vent. They don't know who to vent to.
Yeah.
Turns out you're a sounding board.
Yeah. And that is true. For a while there, I felt
and
like I had to.
That's not the wrong thing, though.
Yeah. I thought I had to speak my piece and try and reason and understand. And then, you know, after it was probably a year or two of you telling
years.
Me, just say okay. Like, there's no reasoning with this woman. You'd be more productive talking to a wall. I finally.
Person's not here to listen. They're here to yell.
Yeah, and so I finally just decided that I would take your advice, and it's really like given me a lot of relief. Okay, so we just had another kid interruption, which is
pretty normal.
Why we have the odd pauses here, but with the school year starting. We have kids like basically 6 days a week, so it's really hard to
record this. They had their first in-person day, and I feel like they both had pretty good days. They're very excited, like they got to see their friends again. It's been like a busy time since they came home. It's only been a couple hours, but I think it's gonna be a fucking good night.
Anywho, so we were chit-chatting, and I told TJ, I'm like, stop, we have to record this because it's fucking hilarious. He's like, wait, how rated R can we get with this?
So
I said,
how about you just tell that whole
marked
it was like 30
explicit.
Seconds worth of story.
Yeah, it was awesome. But I said, how about the next question I ask you is like, how do you deal with your ex disliking me?
So I feel like I could word this part better.
Okay.
What I said was, if that thought would ever like enter my mind, like. Because I've known from the day I met you, she wasn't going to like you, and I was fine with that, because you're not her. Like, what woman would like another woman in her kid's life? Like, obviously, there's not going to be any love there. But how I deal with knowing that she doesn't like you, until this day, like, to this day, bang you harder. Make the headboard slap on the wall harder. Like, worth it.
Love me harder.
You love me so well, like, I'm just going to love you back harder. Like, I don't give a shit she doesn't like you. I like you. Her opinion of you or what she thinks about you or how mad she or how much hate she sends my way, which she doesn't do a lot, but I don't care. She lost that privilege when she stepped out. So now I just look you in the eye and make sure you know I'm in the room with you. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking we should probably put this on FaceTime and call her. Well, I'm just beating the brakes off you.
Oh, I was like, what?
Just fucking smoking it, giving me the fucking business. Hashtag last night. Balls slapping, fucking babe. Headboard banging. Hey, remember, your replacement's way better. Yeah, probably don't send the kids up for volleyball anymore. Click.
Oh, we should talk about that.
Nope.
I think it's freaking awesome.
Oh, not in the the volleyball, yes. Not like, let's not mix the context.
No, that not was the balls.
Me trying to truncate a point at...
No, but like, okay, the volleyball thing. So,
to be clear, I just bang you harder.
Stepmom win. So she signed the girls up for volleyball.
Which she normally does. She's done that for a couple years now. Yeah,
she normally does, but also...
Doesn't ask us, doesn't tell us, just lets us know, hey, tomorrow there's fucking 9 games.
Yeah. Gotcha. So the first day that Izzy was signed up for volleyball, that she was with us at our house... I think it was like 2 something. I left to go to the store.
So this was a Thursday and we were told this wasn't supposed to start until Monday.
Yes.
We were told it was going to start next Monday and we're like, cool, we can handle this. We plan this.
Yeah.
And, Izzy comes out, her practice starts at 3. It ends at 5.
It's 30 minutes to get there.
Monday. She comes out at 2:30 and her volleyball gear and says, hey, so, when should we leave my practice? And I'm like, wait, what?
It wasn't Monday. You misspoke.
No, like the day she asked me.
Yeah, it was like Thursday. She was supposed
to start Monday. She comes out. Yeah, it was Thursday, I think. Mm-hmm. Pause, it was Thursday, not Friday. She was like, hey, so what time should we leave for my practice? I'm like, on Monday, we're probably going to leave about 2:30. She's like, well, what about today? I'm like, yeah. So I pulled up the text messages in the schedule. I'm like, this is what your mom sent me, and this is what I'm going off of. If you have practice today, you're not going to make it. She's like, can I go text mom and let her know I'm not going to be there? I'm like, you can do that if you want. Or I can do it.
Yeah. And
so
then,
I told her, like, hey, she ain't making that shit today because the schedule you sent me said Monday. And she's like, okay, I will let the coach know. I'm like, the fuck? No shit. Like, I'm not doing that.
Dumb bitch. Also, we don't have the coach's information.
Like, well, how am I going to talk to a person I've never met and don't know how to contact?
Right.
But she was bummed, like, super fail. Like, apparently...
it was a mom fail.
The tryouts had gone all week, and they were supposed to start, like, practicing that day.
Another kid interruption. You can grab your phone and go upstairs and hang out. The podcast.
So, she didn't... I don't even... If she had told her mom that they were supposed to start practice that next day, her mom didn't even know.
Or so, didn't tell us.
Well, I think Izzy didn't tell anybody. She just assumed that because her mom was at the practice, which she was, she heard or knew, and knew that the following day, that when I'm at dad's house, this is already coordinated. Nobody knew.
And maybe I'm...
Zero people knew except for Izzy. So we're like, yeah, you're not doing that. And I think it was Friday, not Thursday.
Maybe. But I know some... Like, I... could be partially to blame because I tell her all the time, like, don't worry about it. That's something the adults need to discuss. Like, if it's a scheduling thing. I don't think
that's a blame thing. If they were going to say, hey, we got these teams figured out. Practice starts tomorrow. You better start texting or emailing parents right now. Don't tell the kids and say,
the problem is we're not on that email list.
Doesn't matter. Her mom did not know. Her mom was not told.
Yeah.
I think the kids were told, tell your parents, be here tomorrow.
Right.
But because she came to our house the next day, why would she need to tell mom?
Right. But then here, like, the situation that you're in. So I'm at the store, and you're supposed to leave the 11-year-old that doesn't pay attention to washing his hands correctly with an 8-year-old and drive 30 minutes away. Or I'm supposed to, like, ditch my cart in the middle of the grocery store and head home so that you can take her to volleyball practice? No.
So I should have told her, I'm like, this was not supposed to start until Monday.
Yeah.
This is not happening today at all. So go ahead and take your volleyball shoes off and your knee pads off. We're not going.
Yeah.
I'll let mom know. And by her mom's response, I know for a fact she didn't know either. She wasn't like, oh, well, I can come get her. It was none of that. It was...
There wouldn't have been time for that.
She would have tried if she had known, she would have tried, because she was looking for the failure. She always does. Looks for our failure so she can come in and swoop in and save the day.
Right.
That's why I know she didn't fucking know.
I guess. Because
she was nowhere near prepared to come in and swoop in and save the day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Normally she would have done that.
So anyways, she signs Izzy up for this volleyball, and it goes every day from her practice. Goes every day, Monday through Friday, from 3:30 to 5 or 5:30 to 5:30. 3:30 to 5:30. And the kids' school is 30 minutes from our house.
Almost 30 minutes from their mom's house.
Yeah.
And mom's back at work at this point, by the way.
Right.
She's back in full swing at work.
So then she also signs Zoe up for volleyball, and she has practice one night a week. She has games one night a week.
Two nights a week for practice now.
Oh, is it two?
6 to 7.
So Zoe has practice also. Different location. Her games are at the West
Five
Y.
5 miles west of Izzy's school.
The West Y is like 3 miles from our house, but probably 20 from her house.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. It is 3.3 miles from our house to the West Y and 4 to Izzy's school. So both are closer to us than their mom's house.
Izzy's school is more than 4 miles away.
It's still straight down the thing. I make a right and I make a left. It's like a half a mile tops past what the West Y is.
I did it. It's 13.1 or 13.3
total
miles.
Anyway, it's a 20-minute trip from our end. Where her mom works is closer than their house is by over half. So her mom has to leave work to go to their house the other fucking direction,
mm-hmm.
10, 15 miles,
mm-hmm.
pick up Izzy, take her the opposite direction, which I think is a total of 15 miles,
probably.
To her school, drop her off at practice. And then when Izzy's done with practice, she has to go pick her up. Take her back to the house. Pick up Zoe at the same house. Still 15 miles the fuck away. And Zoe's practice is farther and it starts at 6. Like, it is a huge nightmare.
Logistically.
You cannot imagine. You would be burning. You put 100 miles in your car in one day.
Oh, yeah.
So easy. After the second day, she calls me and is like, hey, gonna pull the girls from volleyball. We just can't pull this off. And I'm like,
can't take that much time off work.
I'm like, duh. That's why we don't sign up for sports. Because you sign them up for sports nowhere near you, which is weird because if we sign them up for sports, they'd be within a mile of us at all times.
Right.
So we can't make that happen, but she keeps on doing it. This is the first time that she's had to like deal with it all on her own because I'm not at work. I'm on vacation. I'm not doing none of this bullshit. Jen is busy and the
kids.
Well,
it's her day. It's her responsibility.
And it's during the week when she's supposed to have them
because
it's school year. So she's like, I can't manage all this. And we're like, taste my pain, bitch.
Right.
And she's like, I'm canceling sports. We're like, cool.
Yeah.
You're fucking stupid for always doing this.
But the thing is, like, so Matthew and Izzy are the same age.
I smiled so hard at that phone call. Just saying.
Matthew and Izzy are the same age. Matthew's school is a mile from our house.
One straight mile.
He only has to cross one main street to get to his school, but they have a crossing
in a school
guard
zone,
there.
And it has a major crossing
light
crosswalk
thing.
Yeah.
The rest is all subdivision, and between our house and the school is my parents' house.
Yep.
And also the boys have an uncle that lives around the corner.
Right around the corner.
Right. So, like, it's a mile away. So even if, worst case scenario, I was here doing it all by myself, I could take one of the other kids to their thing because guess what? Matthew could take himself because it's a mile away.
Or if we had to leave Littles here, it's fine because your mom is within like 0.7 miles.
It's 0.8 miles
a
bike.
Oh, Little Miss Exactly over here.
But that's just...
Mm. And your dad's retired, so he's like, he's there
right.
most of the time. So.
Yeah, but my point being like, if she allowed the kids to be with us during the school year and relinquished that control...
No way.
The kids would have more opportunity because the schools are right here.
Way more sports opportunities,
yeah.
And they would be closer and safer. They wouldn't have to ride buses for 2 hours a day.
We also have like 10 parks within 3 miles of us
she
for
also
sporting
moved
events.
To the fucking Australian outback.
Yeah.
So that's what she gets to deal with. So this is the first time she had to deal with it on her own, and she had to cancel sports because she's like, I can't fucking do this every day. It's like 9 hours. Literally, it's four, but she has to take off work early to do this four-hour dumb bullshit, this bullshittery, because it's her day to do it, and her mom isn't helping, and her husband is also at work at the same, like, on the same location.
This is my point of
view. I don't do sports.
I think that she's not good with logistics, because if she looked at it logistically, Izzy is at school either 3 days a week. She's not good with it
because people have always cleaned up her fucking messes.
Well, that makes sense.
The reason she canceled her sports is because there's nobody cleaning up her messes anymore.
Yeah. But Izzy's at her school 3 days 1 week and two days the next week. So really, she would have 10 days a month where she'd have to leave work early.
You're explaining this like you're trying to explain to her. It doesn't matter.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, so really it's not 20 days a month. It's half that because she's at school already half the time. So I feel like it was kind of a cop-out on her part, not wanting to, like, think about the logistics to try and make it work.
She's never going
to
do that.
I know. I'm not trying to justify that. I'm just saying, like, if it were you and I, like, hey, babe, this week, I'll take Tuesday, you take Thursday. And then on the next week, I'll take Monday, Wednesday, you take Friday. Or, like, they come to us on Fridays, so then we would do that.
At all ever, not send them up for sports and not deal with the dumb bullshit. We'll deal with the school part because we already have five kids in four schools and that's already hard enough. So fuck sports. Unless somebody wants to do this 100% of the time, in which case it would have to be us logistically, and that's never going to happen. So
yeah, I agree.
Cut the sports out unless you want to give them to us full time because there's five schools within a mile of us right now.
Yeah.
Elementary, junior, high.
Yeah.
All of them. They're within a mile of us.
I would say there's more than five.
Two high schools within a mile. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And two middle schools.
How simple that is and how easy that would be compared to somebody who hates me relinquishing control. Never going to happen. So here we are. So how do you deal with a parent, a bio parent, that absolutely despises you as a step?
I just remind myself how fucking awesome I am.
Back to the original question.
Yeah. I remind myself how fucking awesome I am and how I don't need her approval. Okay. Me do what I want.
Okay.
Okay.
How do I deal with knowing that the bio parent doesn't like me as a step parent?
Cool story, bro.
I haven't had an issue with it, so I'll let you know if that ever happens. Because real people talk to real people, and it's not like the guy texts me or anything like that. See him sometimes when he's dropping all the boys and picking him up, and that's how I deal with it. I be me, and I rule my world.
Pick up the slack when he gets in trouble?
Well, if we had... Look, and this is a completely separate issue, but still the same lifestyle. Like, everything affects these kids' lives. It's not just the parenting aspect. We pay for everything. And because...
with my kids, we pay for everything.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I just want to make it clear.
This is my
to
point
them.
Of view. This yeah. is me answering the question.
Yes, I just want to make it clear.
We pay for everything, so fuck anybody who doesn't do that same very thing. There is no doubt that the bio parents love their kids at all. I do believe they love them. I do believe they're also wrong for them as parents, but that's a personal opinion, a pretty dark one if we're being honest.
But it's like we've always said, they should just be the fun ones on the weekends. We should be the stable ones throughout the week taking care of business.
They could also just cowboy the fuck up and be adults, and we would not be in this position to begin with.
It's true, but
in which case we never would have met, which I'm not sorry that all the dirt went down when we had to meet.
Yeah, I would rather deal with this bullshit any day of the week and have you than not deal with the bullshit and not have you.
I'm 50-50.
As he winks at me.
Well, I would be 50-50 if I didn't make way more money than him and my ex. Because I feel like you make way more money than him and my ex. Look, I'm not saying that money makes everything better or it definitely uncomplicates a lot of things and
makes things easier.
It makes our life quite a bit easier,
especially with being six able kids, to deal this stuff.
Well, being able to deal with all this stuff, like at least they're not going hungry and the lights aren't out and we're not, you know, we're not driving.
They get 30, good 20
meals. Year old Hyundais. And
yeah, they get good meals here.
We're not scratching to try and make this whole thing work.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we're doing pretty great. I feel like you handle, as a stepmom to a lot of kids, two different bio moms, one who's awesome to you and one who is awesome to nobody. I feel like you know what it's supposed to be like, just like she knows what it's supposed to be like for Jaden. Like, you know how the good stepmom and the bad stepmoms are supposed to be because you live with both.
Right.
You deal with both.
Yeah.
And I think you do amazing at it. And okay is the way to go.
Totally.
If you got nothing, or if you don't want to fight, fucking say okay and yeah. Go eat a taco. Like,
listen to the okay episode.
That's okay is a good episode.
It is a good episode. All right, babe, you good?
I mean, if you're good, I'm good. You're gonna good. Be good.
Okay,
whoever requested this via email, hope we gave you some sort of answers and closure, or just let you know you're not crazy, you're not alone, trust me.
Yeah.
I know way more step-parents than I do actual regular ones, and that's saying something.
And if you have any questions or any other topic ideas that you want us to go through, just email me and email, I'll email DM, back.
It's whatever. We love to talk about this kind of shit because this is basically our world outside of kids and work. So
yeah, true story.
You know, keep trucking. Yeah. Keep fighting. And especially like if you got stepkids, love them best you can. Don't worry about the bullshit. Yeah. Just say okay.
You do you, boo.
Okay.
Okay.